Welcome to Deloitte Global Insights, a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Deloitte Global Insights is an audio news podcast that looks at important cross-border issues that affect the global business community. I'm Holly Sagayan, and I'll be your host for today's program. Gaming goes online and on sale. New revenue models grow the market. Part of a series examining the 2011 TMT predictions. Each year, the Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited Global Technology, Media, and Telecommunications Group looks at trends for the coming year in its series of predictions. This is the 10th year for predictions, which are compiled from conversations with TMT companies, industry analysts, trade organizations, and member firm partners and senior practitioners. Here today to discuss what gamers are going to do in 2011 is Duncan Stewart. Duncan is director of Deloitte Canada Research and co-author of TMT Predictions. Duncan, thanks for your time today.
Happy to be here, Holly.
So, Duncan, assuming electronic gaming will only become more popular, what sort of growth do you foresee in 2011?
Well, it's probably important to put it in context. Many parts of the media business are not, in fact, expected to grow that quickly going forward, and many parts of technology aren't growing at the double-digit rates that we might have seen in the late 1990s. So when I say that we look for about 6% growth in the software side for electronic gaming, that may not sound like a good number, but it actually is a very, very decent growth number. That's going to take the industry up to about $52 billion in 2011, so halfway to $100 billion.
That is a huge number. That's amazing. Where will the majority of that growth take place within the industry?
Well, it's important to understand kind of why 6%, I guess, is a good number and where 52 comes from, because historically the gaming industry has largely been about the console cycle. Every roughly 5 years we had a new console come out, and that drove a big spike in sales, but after 4 or 5 years, you know, as we were getting towards the next cycle, the sales started to drop. It's been 5 years since we had the last generation of consoles, and so 6% growth is actually pretty good. But the interesting thing isn't that we are seeing yet another spike in titles as a result of an upgrade cycle. It's that we're having growth despite that, and we're having it in areas other than the standard high-end consoles and the standard personal computer games. Instead, what we're seeing is a whole bunch of new business models coming up. We are seeing people buy their games on smartphones, and tablets are a big area. The casual game market is very important. We're also seeing subscription games, where instead of going out and buying a disc that you put into a console, you in fact subscribe to a game and you pay a monthly fee in order to pay it. And then the highest area of growth these days is in the area of what's called the free-to-play or the freemium game. These are games that there's no initial charge to pay for up front. You can just log on and start playing your game. Historically, 5-6 years ago, there were games like that, but they were not particularly good and they didn't have great graphics and they weren't that fun to play. The new generation of these games are in fact very sophisticated, very complex, and are showing some of the highest growth. So in all of these brand new categories, the gaming industry is actually seeing itself transformed.
Why is the industry driving these new revenue sources?
There's a few reasons. One of them, I mentioned the console cycle already, but another big problem is that if you take a look at the traditional gaming industry, you would have computers and you would have consoles, and there would be discs that you would put in them, and those discs would be great. You know, I can go out and I'll spend $40 or $50 on a disc and I'll have my new game. The only problem is that once you've made it as a disc that can be run on a computer or a console or as a standalone, you've created the ability of that disc to be pirated. And sadly, around the world, there has been extensive pirating of many games. The industry has a broad range of estimates, but some estimates are that it is tens of billions of dollars. Obviously, that's an enormous challenge. However, if you now think about a game that instead of being just a disc you put in a machine and it works, instead, if you have to log on, if you have to validate the game, if you want to play with other players, if you want a game that only really works when it's connected, all of those models that we discussed, subscription model, the free-to-play, the freemium model, all of these work, in fact, only when they're connected. But if they're connected, then you can't pirate them. Or let me be more cautious. It is very difficult to pirate a game that really only works when connected. So one of the big drivers is that the industry has now developed a variety of ways of playing games that really discourage piracy, and that obviously is a significant driver. The other thing is that the costs of developing the traditional console and PC game, where it is you're aiming for the blockbuster, we're getting very, very high. And many of these new games are, in fact, much, much lower development costs. One of the more recent examples costs a few a few hundred thousand dollars to create the game, and the game has already made tens of millions. This is one of these freemium games that I was talking about. So the industry is seeing that perhaps at a lower cost of manufacture allows them to have not blockbusters that are selling hundreds of millions of dollars necessarily, but still be very, very profitable. So for reasons related to piracy, for reasons related to profitability even on a small scale, but then the third one is probably predictability. When you go out and you make a game that's all about a disc that you hope people will buy, you have tremendous volatility and lumpiness as a game manufacturer. People either buy it or they don't. That kind of hit or miss thing has meant that the gaming industry's profitability is subject to a significant amount of fluctuations. On the other hand, when all of a sudden games are being sold as a service, or when people are in a more predictable fashion buying virtual hay for their virtual horses, all of a sudden the earnings stability is greatly enhanced. So for all of those reasons, the industry is in fact becoming a great deal much like the other software industry. Computer software, enterprise software, actually works very similarly to the way in which the gaming industry is transforming itself.
So, and I'm assuming that you didn't use cheats to get any of this data, right?
Well, just a couple times I clicked on the flashing red sapphire, but aside from that.
Okay, fair enough. Well, thanks so much for sharing your perspectives today, Duncan.
Thanks for having me on.
Visit www.deloitte.com/predictions2011 to access this year's predictions for technology, media, and telecommunications. Visit www.deloitte.com/global for more on Deloitte member firms' involvement in this industry, as well as other industries and service lines. You've been listening to Deloitte Global Insights, a program that looks at today's important cross-border business issues. We want to hear from you. Contact us with your feedback or suggestions for future podcast topics and find Deloitte Global Insights at www.deloitte.com/podcasts. This has been a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Thanks for listening and goodbye for now. Deloitte refers to one or more of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited, a UK private company limited by guarantee and its network of member firms, each of which is legally separate and independent entity. Please see www.deloitte.com/about for a detailed description of the legal structure of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited and its member firms.